An Osho Talk. When the Shoe Fits. Talks on the stories of Trungpa-Zhu, number 6.
You cannot put a big load in a small bag, nor can you, with a short rope, draw water from a deep well. Have you not heard how a bird from the sea was blown inshore and landed outside the capital of Lu? The prince ordered a solemn reception, offered the sea bird wine in the sacred precinct, called for musicians to play compositions of Shun, slaughtered cattle to nourish it. Dazed with symphonies, the unhappy sea bird died of despair. How should you treat a bird? As yourself, or as a bird? Ought not a bird rest in deep woodland, or fly over meadow and marsh? Ought it not swim on river and pond, feed on eels and fish, fly in formation with other fowls, and rest in the reeds? Bad enough for a sea bird to be surrounded by men, and frightened by their voices. That was not enough. They killed it with music. Water is for fish, air for men. Natures differ, and needs with them. Hence the wise men of old did not lay down one measure for all.
There is no human nature as such. There are human natures. Each individual is a universe unto himself. You cannot make any general rules. All general rules go false. This has to be remembered very deeply, because on the path there is every possibility you may start following rules. And once you become a victim of rules, you will never come to know who you are. You can know yourself only in total freedom. And rules are prisons. They are prisons because no one can make rules for you. He may have discovered the truth through those rules, but they were for him. Nature differs. They helped him. They will not help you. They will hinder you on the contrary. So let understanding be the only rule. Learn, grow in understanding, but don't follow rules. Rules are dead. Understanding is alive. Rules will become an imprisonment. Understanding will give you the infinity sky. And every man is burdened with rules. Every religion becomes nothing but rules. Because Jesus attained, because Buddha attained, their life becomes a rule for everybody else to follow. But nobody else is a Gautam Buddha. Nobody else is a Jesus Christ. So at the most, you can become a decorated carbon copy, but you will never be your authentic self. If you follow Jesus too much, you will become a Christian but never a Christ. And that's the danger. To become a Christian is not worth, and to miss the Christ. You can become the Christ, but then Jesus cannot be your rule. Only your own understanding will be the law. Jesus followed nobody. He had a master, John the Baptist, but he never followed any rule. He left the master. He remained with the master. He looked at the flame of the master. He absorbed the master. He was baptized by the master, but he never followed any rules. Other followers of John went against Jesus because they said, this man has betrayed. He is going on his own. He is not following the rules strictly. No man of understanding can follow rules strictly. Only people who are dead can follow rules strictly. Because no rule is for you. You are your own rule. Understand. Learn from others. Just to find your own rule. And remember, never impose that rule on anybody else. That is violence. Your so-called Mahatmas go on enforcing rules on others, because through rules they kill and destroy and they enjoy violence. Their violence is very subtle. They don't kill you directly, they kill you very indirectly, and if somebody attacks you directly, you can defend. When somebody attacks you indirectly, for your own sake, you become completely a victim. You cannot even defend yourself. Many gurus are nothing but violence, but their violence is subtle. So whenever you come near a man who wants to impose his rules on your life, wants to give you a fixed frame, wants to give you a window to look at the truth, escape from there. There is danger. A real master will not give you a window to look at the truth. He will bring you out under the sky. He will not give you a pattern to live. He will simply give you the feeling, the understanding, and understanding will help you to move. Understanding is free and your own. Remember, because you don't want to understand, because understanding is difficult, arduous, because understanding needs courage, and understanding needs transformation, you simply become victims of those who want to give you rules, because rules are substitutes. Easily you can get them. Easily you can make your life a disciplined life. But this will be a false thing. You may be acting, pretending, but this cannot be real. There is a Jewish story I would like to tell you. Jesus must have heard it because it is older than Jesus. And everybody knew the story in those days. He must have heard it from his mother Mary or from his father Joseph. The story is beautiful. You may have also heard it. The story is one so-called wise man, almost a rabbi, I say almost, because he was a rabbi. But to be a rabbi really, it's difficult. To be a real rabbi means you are enlightened. In fact, he was just a priest. He has not known anything. But people knew about him that he is a wise man. He was coming back from some village to his home. Passing, he saw a man carrying a beautiful bird. He purchased the bird. He started thinking in his mind that back home, I am going to eat this bird. This bird is beautiful. Suddenly the bird said, "Don't think such thoughts." The rabbi became scared. He said, "What? Have I heard you speak?" The bird said, "Yes. And I am no ordinary bird. I am also almost a rabbi in the world of birds. And I can give you 3 pieces of advice. If you promise to release me and make me free." The rabbi said, in his mind this word speaks. He must be someone who knows, because this is how we decide. If somebody can speak, he must be knowing. Speaking so easy, knowing so difficult, and not related with each other at all. You can speak without knowing. You can know without speaking. There is no relationship. But a speaker becomes a knower. So the rabbi said, "Okay, you give me the 3 advices and I will make you free." Said the bird, "First advice, never believe in any absurdity. Whosoever should be saying it, a great man, renowned all over the world, with prestige, power, authority. But if he is speaking something absurd, don't believe." The rabbi said, "Right." The bird said, "And this is my 2nd advice, that whatsoever you do, never try the impossible, because then you will be a failure. So always know the limit. One who knows his limitations is wise. One who goes beyond his limit becomes a fool." The rabbi nodded, said, "Right," and said the word, "This is my 3rd advice. If you do something good, never repent. Only repent for the bad." The advices were wonderful, beautiful. The bird was set free. Happy, the rabbi started walking towards his home, and he thought in his mind, "Good matter for a talk. In the synagogue next week, when I am going to speak these 3 advices. And I am going to write on the wall of my house also. And I will write it on my desk so I can remember it. These 3 rules can change a man." And suddenly he heard the bird was sitting on the tree, and the bird started laughing so loudly. The rabbi said, "What is the matter?" The bird said, "You fool, I have got a very precious diamond in my belly. Had you killed me, you would have become the richest man in the world." The rabbi repented in his heart that really I am foolish. what I have done, and I believe this word. He threw his books that he were carrying. He started climbing the tree. An old man, and he has never climbed a tree in his life. And the more he climbed, the word will flew to another higher branch. Finally, the word reached to the very top, and the old rabbi also. And then the word flew. Just the moment when he was going to catch the word flew, he missed the step, fell down from the tree, almost broken and dead, blood flowing, both legs fractured. The bird again came to a lower branch and said, "Now." First you believed me that a bird can have a precious diamond in the belly, you fool. Have you ever heard such an absurdity? And then you tried the impossible. You have never climbed a tree. And when the word is free, how can you catch him by bare hands, you fool? And you repented in your heart that you had done a wrong when you have done a good deed. You have made a bird free. Now go home and write your rules. And next week go to the synagogue and preach. But this is how all preachers are doing. Understanding is lacking. They only carry rules. Rules are dead things. Understanding has no weight. You need not carry it. It carries you. It becomes your wings. It is not a weight at all. You need not even remember it. If you understand a thing, you need not remember it. It becomes your blood, your bones. It is you. Whatsoever you do, it will be done through that understanding. It is an unconscious phenomenon. Rules are conscious. Understanding is unconscious. And Chuang Tzu is always for the unconscious. The whole tradition of Tao is for the unconscious. Don't force rules. Just try to understand things. If you force rules upon yourself, you will not become enlightened. You will remain ignorant inside, just decorated from without. Jesus used to say that I look at you and I feel that you are like graves whitewashed inside the dead, outside a whitewashed wall. It may look beautiful and clean. All your rules can give you an outer cleaning, cleanliness. Inside you remain the old fool. And remember, only fools follow rules. A wise man tries to understand and forgets the rules. A wise man is free to move. A man who has rules cannot move. He always has to follow the rule, and life changes every moment. Moment to moment, it goes on changing. It does not wait for you, are your rules. Every moment is new and the rule is old. You will always miss the step. And you will always be a misfit. Whenever there is a man who follows rules, he will always be a misfit everywhere. Because life goes on flowing. And you are stuck with the rule. As I see within you, you all are stuck with rules. In your childhood, rules have been given to you and you are stuck there. Since then you have never moved. You may have been jogging on the same spot, but you have not moved. You may become old, 70 years old, but deep down you remain stuck. The whole effort towards enlightenment is how to get unstuck, how to move, how to become a flow again and not be frozen. Don't be like ice, frozen. Become like water, a river, flowing. Rules will never allow you that. Remember that life goes on renewing itself. Only understanding can respond once it happens. Mullah Nasruddin was always talking in negative terms. So I told him, be more positive. Why look at life with such negative eyes? Then you will find only thorns and no flowers. So he said, okay, now I will make it a rule to be positive always. The next day, the wife had gone for shopping to the market, and she had told him to look after the children. When she came back, she immediately felt that something has gone wrong. The whole house was sad. Children was not running here and there. No noise. She became apprehensive. And then she looked at Nasruddin, who was sitting at the door. And immediately she felt really something has gone wrong. Afraid, she asked Nasruddin and told him, don't say me anything bad. Just tell me the good news. Nasruddin said, I have taken a vow not to be negative at all. So you need not remind me. You know our 7 children? 6 of them didn't come under a bus. Didn't come under a truck. 6 of them. This is now he has become positive. You can change the words. But deep down you remain the same. You can change the behavior. Deep down you remain the same. The real thing, how to change your being, not your behavior, not your words, not your clothes, how to change your being. A man of rules changes himself on the periphery. A man of understanding changes himself, then the periphery changes automatically. When the center changes, the periphery changes automatically. It has to change. But when the periphery changes, there is no necessity for the center to change with it. What rules can do? They can tell you what to do and what not to do. They cannot change you. They can only change your actions. And actions are not you. Actions come from you, but you are deeper than your actions. They can change your behavior. Behavior means your relationship with others. They cannot change you, because you, in your total aloneness, is your being, not in relationship. And then Chuang Tzu says that natures differ. One man came to me. he has been doing sirsasana, one posture, standing on his head, the head stand posture. It is written in the books that it is very beneficial. And if it is very beneficial, he is doing it for long and long and long. Now, he is in such an inner turmoil that he is going almost mad. So he asked me what has gone wrong. He is a man of rules. He follows Patanjali word to word. Diet, exactly as it should be. Sleep, time. He is a very regularized man. So he cannot think what has gone wrong. So I asked him to tell me the whole routine. He is doing sirsasana for 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the night. And he was waiting that now any moment enlightenment is to happen. It has not happened, rather he is going mad. He is crazy. To certain people, sirsasana suits. And more idiotic a person, the more it suits. To a man of intelligence, it is dangerous. Higher the intelligence, more dangerous. Because it is not just a posture. It changes your whole body chemistry. Man has attained intelligence and no animal has attained it. Why? Because man stands on two legs. That is the whole point. If a child continues to walk on four, he will never become a man. He will never attain that intelligence. When your spine is parallel to the earth, blood flows equally all over the body. It goes to the legs in the same amount as it goes to the head. Then the head cannot develop subtle nervous system. It cannot develop. So much blood flowing. Subtle is your brain mechanism, very subtle, the most subtlest thing in the world. In your small head, your head weighs only 1.5 kilo, if it is an Einstein's head. The greatest genius head is only 1.5 kilo. In this head, there are 70 million cells. Each cell can carry millions of informations. And the cell is so subtle that if blood goes fast, the cell dies. Blood must not move into the head too much. Otherwise, it washes the subtle mechanism. So if someone is stupid, idiotic, imbecile, sirsasana is the best thing. Because it cannot do any harm. And he will feel very good. It will not do any harm and he will feel very good because blood will flow in the head in a flood, and when the flood goes back, everything will relax. He will feel very good. Just as you take a bath and you feel very good. But if you are very intelligent, then it is dangerous. Then you will get stuck into it. Your subtle mechanism will be destroyed. You may feel good physically, but mentally it will prove destructive. So if a very intelligent person is doing it, he may go mad. If an unintelligent person is doing it, he may become more healthy. And then the question of time, how much? For a few seconds, even for an intelligent man, it may be good. Just few seconds, just a flood, and then back. Nothing is destroyed, only everything becomes more alive in the brain. But that has to be decided by a master, not by you. You cannot do it through books. A living master only can decide how many seconds will be enough for you. Otherwise, you will be moving in danger. But human mind is childish. Something goes wrong with your watch, the first inclination is to open it. First inclination to open it and see what has gone wrong and do something. Please don't do anything. Otherwise, many more things will go wrong. Because a watch is a subtle mechanism. Somebody who knows, only he should open it. Otherwise, you will not be repairing it. You may do so much harm that it will become almost impossible to repair it. But a watch is nothing. Before a brain, a watch is nothing. Don't do anything. Throw books. Books cannot be helpful. Somebody is needed who can look through your mind, through the whole brain system, who can feel how your inner brain is functioning. He can decide how many seconds, or whether it will be good or not. And this is just for an example. Many people go on trying through the books. Life is very complex. Books can give you dead rules, and if you follow, you are moving into dangerous zone. It is better not to do anything than to do something wrong. It is better to remain ordinary in ordinary life. If you cannot find a living master, if you cannot trust in somebody, then don't do it. At least you will remain sane. Otherwise, you can go insane. The inner system of your bioenergy is very complex. The whole universe is nothing before it. The whole universe moves on very simple lines. Man is the most complex being. That's why no line can go mad. And man is almost on the verge. Always. Any moment you can go mad. It is such a complex phenomena. One should move in it very alert. And understanding is needed, not rules. Throw books, scriptures, rules you can have, but not understanding. Each person is different. Man is different from woman. Each individual is different from each other. Not only that, every day you are different from your another day. Yesterday you were somebody else, today you are somebody else, tomorrow you will be somebody else. A very, very deep understanding is needed. Rules cannot be the substitute. Now, we would enter into the sutra. Symphony for a seabird. You cannot put a big load in a small bag, nor can you with a short rope draw water from a deep well. But this is what everybody is doing. Trying to put a big load in a small bag. You never bother about the bag. What's your capacity? The first thing is to know your limitations. Then think about your achievement. What is your capacity? What you are capable of? What is your intrinsic capacity? Nobody bothers about it. A man who has no musical ear goes on trying to become a musician. His whole life will be wasted. Because a musician is born, not made. A man who has no feeling goes on trying to become a poet or a painter. A man who has no eyes, if tries to become a painter, is going to be a failure. Because a painter has a different type of eye, almost the third eye. When you look at the trees, you see one green. When a painter looks, he sees thousands of greens, not one. Each tree has a greenery of its own. And he feels color. Color has a vibration for him. The whole world is nothing but color. Hindus say that the whole world is sound. It happened that those few people who wrote Upanishads, they were poets, musicians. They had an ear for the sound. Then the whole universe turns into a sound. Omkar, Anahat. A man who has never been in any love with music goes on trying with the mantra Om. Nothing happens. He goes on repeating it inside. Nothing happens. He goes to this master and that and never thinks about his own capacity. If you have a musical ear, if you have a heart which can understand music, not only understand but feel, then mantra will be helpful. Because then inner sound, and you can become one with it. Then you can move with that sound to subtler and subtler layers. Then a moment comes when all sounds stop, and only the universal sound remains. That is Om. That's why Hindus say the whole world consists of sound. This is not true. This is not an absolute truth. This is the truth of the musician. Remember, there are not absolute truths. Every truth is individual. It is your truth. There is no truth as an objectivity. Your truth may not be a truth to me. My truth may not be a truth to you. Because truth is not objective, I am there involved in it. My truth means me. Your truth means you. When Buddha reaches, when Jesus reaches our Chuangtezu, they have reached to the same universal source. But their interpretation differs. A Buddha is not a musician at all. He finds no sound there. He is not a painter. He finds no color there. He is a very silent man. Silence is his music. That's why he finds a formless void, sunya, everything empty. That is his truth. He has come to the same source, the source is one. But the persons who come are different. They look, they see, they feel in different ways. That's why so many philosophies, so many religions. When Meera comes to the same source, she starts dancing. You cannot conceive Buddha dancing. You cannot conceive Jesus dancing. Meera starts dancing. She has come to the beloved, the heart of woman. The heart, the feeling of love, and then the source becomes the beloved. She has come to her lover. The source is the same, the truth ultimately is the same, but the moment someone says it, it is different. And remember, nobody's truth can be yours. You have to uncover it. First thing is to remember your capacity. But you are so confused, you cannot feel what is your capacity. Hence the need of a master who can take your pulse in his hand and who can feel what is your capacity. You may go on doing much effort in a wrong direction, and nothing will be the outcome. You can reach only in a certain way. You can reach only through you. You cannot put a big load in a small bag. Nor can you with a short rope draw water from a deep well. Know your capacity. That is the first point. If you know rightly your capacity, then the first step has been taken. And the last is not very far away. If the first is wrong, then you may walk and walk for lives together. And you will not be reaching anywhere. Have you not heard how a bird from the sea was blown inshore and landed outside the capital of Lu? A beautiful parable. A bird from the sea landed outside the capital of Lu. A beautiful bird. The prince ordered a solemn reception. Because a prince is a prince. And he thought, as other princes have to be received, really a king bird has come. The bird was so beautiful that he had to be received. But how to receive a bird? The king has his own ways. He received the bird, he ordered a solemn reception. Offered the seabird wine in the sacred precinct. Called for musicians to play compositions of sun, slaughtered cattle to nourish it, dazed with symphonies, the unhappy seabird died of despair. And everything was done to receive the guest, but nobody bothered that who this guest is. The guest was received according to the host, not according to the guest. And that killed the poor bird. Many of you are simply dead because of the host. Nobody looks at you. A child is born, and the parents start thinking what to make of him. Even before he is born, they start thinking. I was staying in a home with a friend. The friend is a professor in a university. His wife is also a professor. Both are very intelligent persons with gold medals and certificates and PhDs. I saw their daughter. They have only one daughter, on the piano, weeping and crying. So I asked the mother, what is the matter? The mother said, I always wanted to be a musician, and my parents won't allow. Now, this is not going to happen again to my daughter. She has to be a musician. I have suffered so much. My parents won't allow. They forced me to be a professor. I am not going to force my daughter to be a professor. She is going to be a musician. And the daughter is crying and weeping. You are so much confused because of others. Your mother wants you to be something, your father something else. It is bound to be so, because they never agree. Fathers and mothers, they never agree. Mullah Nasruddin's son asked me that I would like to be a doctor, but my mother insists that you have to be an engineer. So what to do? I said, you do one thing. You spread the rumor that your father wants you to be an engineer. So now he is a doctor. They are always opposed, father and mother. And their opposition goes deep within you. It becomes inner conflict. Your father and your mother, they may be dead, no more in this world, but they are within your unconscious, still fighting. They will never leave you in peace. Whatsoever you do, your father says do, then your mother says don't do. Your inner conflict is your parents' conflict. And then there are uncles and brothers and sisters and so many relatives and you alone. Amidst so many good wishers. And they all want you to be something according to them. They destroy you. And then the whole life becomes a confusion. You don't know what you want to be. You don't know where you want to go. You don't know what you are doing and why you are doing. Then you feel miserable. Misery comes into being if you cannot grow to be a natural being, if you cannot grow according to you. That happened to that seabird. And this has happened to all seabirds. You are all seabirds. One day you landed in a womb, in the capital of Lu. You were received with great pomp and show. astrologers decided what is to be done. Musicians welcomed with their music. Parents with their love. And all together they have made you just insane and nothing else. A wise man receives you not according to him. He receives you according to you. A seabird killed by the musicians and their beautiful symphonies. And the prince was doing everything right. That is how a guest has to be received. How should you treat a seabird? As yourself or as a bird? Always give opportunity to the other to be himself. That's what understanding is. That's what love is. Don't force yourself. Your wishes may be good, but the result will be bad. A good wish is not enough in itself. It may turn poisonous. The real point is not your good wish. The real point is to give freedom to the other to be himself or herself. Allow your wife to be herself. Allow your husband to be himself. Allow your child to be himself. Don't force. We are all seabirds, unknown to each other, strangers. Nobody knows who you are. At the most we can do is to help you whatsoever you are going to be, and the future is unknown. And it cannot be forced. And there is no way to know it. No astrology is going to help. These are all foolish methods. They depend because people are stupid. They continue because we go on asking to know about the future so that we can plan. Life cannot be planned. It is an unplanned flood. And it is good that it is unplanned. If it is planned, then everything will be dead and boring. It is good that nobody is able to predict about the future. It is good that the future remains unknown, unpredictable, because there lies the whole freedom. If the future becomes known, then there is no freedom left. Then you will move like a predictable mechanism. But that's what we want, or that's what we try to do. If you are a little understanding, give others around you freedom to be themselves and don't allow anybody to interfere with your freedom. Don't make anybody a slave to you and don't become a slave to anybody. This is what sannyas is. This is my meaning of sannyas. A man who has decided not to enslave anybody and not to be enslaved by anybody. A man who has decided to remain authentically true to himself. Wheresoever leads this truth, he is ready to go. This is courage. It may lead you in insecurity. And you would like to be more secure, then you will listen to others and their well-wishing. And then their symphonies will kill you, they have already killed you. Why you listen to others? Because you feel they know more. I have heard one small child asking his elder brother. The small one was 5 and the elder was 10. The junior was saying to the senior that you go to the mother and ask for her permission so that we can go to the theater. So the senior said, but why not you? Why you don't go? The junior said, you have known her longer than me. But this is the whole problem. You listen to the mother because she has known this world longer than you, to your father because he has known longer than you. But do you think just being here for long, anybody knows anything? Do you think time gives understanding? Seniority is wisdom, do you think? Then go to the government offices and look at the senior people there. Seniority may be wisdom in a government office, it is not in life. Life is not understood through time, it is understood through meditation. It is a going inwards. Time is an outer movement. Time is on the periphery. A man can live for 1,000 years and remain stupid. Really, he will become more stupid because he will grow. And if you have a seed of stupidity in you, within 1,000 years you will become such a vast tree that millions of stupid can rest under you. Whatsoever you have grows. Nothing is static, everything is growing. So a stupid person becomes more stupid, a wise person becomes more wise. But time has nothing to do with understanding. Understanding is not temporal. It is not more experience. It is not the quantity of experience that makes you wise. It is the quality. A single experience can give you such wisdom that many lives may not give you if you bring the quality of awareness to the experience. A man may have made love to many women, thousands of times. Do you think he knows what love is? Quantity is there. You ask a baron, any Don Juan. Quantity is there. Don Juans keep records. They go on counting how many women they have conquered. Quantity is there, but have they known love? And a single love can give you wisdom. If you bring the quality has to be brought by you. What is that quality? That quality is awareness. If you make love to a single woman for a single time, with your total being fully alert, you have come to know what love is. Otherwise, you can go on and on and on. It becomes a repetition. And then you need not do anything. The wheel repeats by itself. It becomes automatic. Wisdom is something that happens when you bring awareness to any experience. The meeting of awareness and experience is wisdom. Experience plus awareness is wisdom. Experience plus more experience plus more experience, then quantity is gained, but there is no quality which makes you free and knowing. Whenever a child is born, if the mother loves the child, if the father loves the child, they will not force themselves on him. Because at least this much they should know, that they have been failures. So why give the same pattern to this child? Why destroy another life again? But look at the stupidity. They would like the child just to follow their path. And they have reached nowhere. And they know deep down they are empty, hollow. And again they are forcing a child to move on the same path, to reach to the same hollowness in the end. Why? Because it feels good to the ego that my child is following me. You may not have reached anywhere, but your son is following you, gives you a good feeling. As if you have attained, that's why the son is following you. And if you are not satisfied by a son, then you can gather followers, disciples. And there are many who are always ready to fall in anybody's trap. Because people are so unfulfilled, they are ready to follow anybody's advice. And the problem is, because of others' advice, they are unfulfilled. And they go on asking for again and again. Mind is a vicious thing. You are so empty, hollow, because you have been following others' advice. And again, you are in search for others to advise you. When you will become aware that basically you are missing because you have not followed your inner voice. So a master cannot give you rules. If a master gives you rules, know well he is a pseudo-master. Escape from him. A master can give you only understanding. How to understand yourself, and then rules will come, but they will come out of your understanding. How would you treat a seabird? As yourself or as a bird? Art not a bird nest in deep woodland, or fly over meadow and marsh? Art it not swim on river and pond, feed on eels and fish, fly in formation with other fowls and rest in the reeds? Bad enough for a seabird to be surrounded by men and frightened by their voices. That was not enough. They killed it with music. Everybody is being killed by music. That music comes out of good wishers, good wishing, the good doers. The whole thing seems to be so absurd and insane. If you plant 1,000 trees and only one comes to flower and 999 die, will anybody call you a gardener? Will anybody give you any credit for the one tree that has flowered? They will say it must have flowered in spite of you. Because you killed 999, you cannot take credit for the one. It must have escaped somehow. Your skill, your experience, your wisdom, it must have escaped. In millions of men, one becomes a Buddha and flowers. What is happening? Why so many trees have to live without flowers? And look at a tree when there are no flowers and flowers never come. What sadness settles on the tree? It cannot laugh. It cannot sing. It cannot dance. Flowers are needed to dance. How can you dance? Even if I say to you, dance, how can you dance? Because dance is an overflowing delight. So overflowing that every cell of the body starts dancing. You become a dancing cosmos. But how? The energy is not flowing. There is no energy coming. You are somehow carrying yourself, dragging yourself. How can you dance? Flowers come when the tree has so much that it can give. Flowers are a gift. It is a sharing. It is saying to the whole universe that I am more than I need. It is a song. The tree is saying now, I move into the world of luxury. My needs are fulfilled. The tree has more than it needs, than flowering. And you are so discontent. You don't have that much even that you need. How can you dance? How can you sing? How can you meditate? Meditation is the ultimate flowering, the ecstasy. That comes only when you are overflowing in a flood. When so much energy you have that you cannot sit, you can only dance. When you have so much energy, you cannot do anything but share. Invite guests to share your energy and your delight, your singing and your dancing. What has happened to man? What man has done to man that nobody flowers? And if Buddha flowers, remember well, it is not because of you, it is in spite of you. It is in spite of Buddha's father and mother, in spite of his teachers. It happened. One of my university teachers came to see me. So he said that you must remember that I was your teacher. So I told him, yes, I remember. How can I forget? It is in spite of you that I am whatsoever I am. You could not succeed with me. You tried. And I feel always thankful towards you that you failed. You couldn't succeed. He really loved me, and he tried every way to force me into the academic world. He loved me so much, and he was so much caring about me, that whenever there will be examination, in the morning he will come with his car and take me to the examination hall, because he was always afraid I may not go, or I may be meditating. Before examination, he will come to tell me that read this, read this, read this. This is coming because I am the paper setter. And again he will remind me that have you read that or not, and know well that I am the paper setter. And that is coming. Because he was always afraid I won't listen to him. He loved me. Your parents also loved you. Your teachers also loved you. But they are unconscious. They don't know what they are doing. Even if they love, something goes wrong. And that something is, they try to give you something according to themselves. He wanted me to become a great university professor somewhere in some great university, head of the department, or a dean, or a vice chancellor. He imagined. And I always laughed and told him, but what I will gain through this? What you have gained? You are a head of the department, a dean, with so many degrees, honorary D.L.I.T., and this and that. What have you gained? And he will smile knowingly that you just wait and do whatsoever I am saying. Because this question, what have you gained, he will always feel a little perplexed, confused, what to say. He has not gained anything. And now he is nearing death. He would like his ambition to move through me. He would like I should carry his ambition. A father dies unfulfilled, he hopes at least my son will reach to the goal. And this is how it goes on and on. Nobody reaches. Love is not enough. Awareness is needed. If love is there without awareness, it becomes an imprisonment. And if love is there with awareness, it becomes a freedom. It helps you to be yourself. Bad enough for a seabird to be surrounded by men and frightened by their voices. That was not enough. They killed it with music. Water is for fish and air for man. Natures differ and needs with them. Hence the wise men of old did not lay down one measure for all. You cannot be treated as things. Things can be similar. Souls cannot be. You can have 1 million Ford cars just the same. You can replace one Ford car with another Ford car and there will be no trouble. But you cannot replace a human being. When a human being disappears, that place that he occupied will remain always, forever and forever unoccupied. Nobody can occupy it. It is impossible to occupy it because nobody can exactly the same as that man was. Everybody is unique, so no rules can be laid down. The wise men of old, but if you go to the wise men of today, you will find rules and regulations and everything, a framework. They will make you a soldier, but not a sannyasin. A soldier is a dead man. Because his whole function is to bring death in the world. He cannot be allowed to be very alive, otherwise how he will bring death? Only death can come through a dead man. He has to kill. Before he kills others, he has to be killed himself completely through rules. So the whole training in the army is to kill the aliveness of the person, the consciousness of the person, make him an automata. So they go on saying to him, right turn, left turn, right turn, left turn for years together, every day for hours. What nonsense is going on? Why right turn, why left turn? There is a point in it. They want to make you an automata. Right turn, and every day for hours you are doing it, it becomes a bodily phenomena. When there's a right turn, you need not think about it. The body simply moves. When they say left turn, the body simply moves. Now you are a mechanism. And when they say suit, you suit. The body moves. The consciousness does not interfere. The whole training of the army all over the world is how to cut consciousness free from your actions. So actions become automatic, you become more efficient, skilled, because consciousness is always the trouble. If you are killing a person and you think, you will miss. If you think, why kill this man? He has not done anything to me. I don't know even who he is. He is a stranger. If you think, you will also have the feeling that you have a mother at home, a wife, a small child is waiting for you, and the same is going to be the case with the other. A mother must be waiting somewhere, a wife praying that the husband will come back, a child hoping that his father will be back. Why kill this man and kill those hopes of a child, of a wife, of a mother, of a father, brother, friends? Why kill this man and he has not done anything wrong to you? Just two politicians have gone mad. They can go and fight with each other and decide the matter. Why decide through others? If you are alert, aware, it will be impossible for you to shoot and kill. So the whole training of army is how to divide awareness and action. How to cut and create a gap. So awareness continues on its own and action continues on its own, and they become parallel. They never meet. Just the opposite is the training of a sannyasin. How to destroy the gap that exists between consciousness and action? How to bring them together? They should not be parallel lines. They should become one whole. How to be conscious in your each action? How to be not an automata? When your all automatism disappears, you have become enlightened. Then you are a Buddha. Through rules this cannot be done. Through rules you can be made a soldier, but you cannot be made a sannyasin. All rules have to be dropped. Understanding has to be gained. But remember, dropping the rules does not mean that you become antisocial. Dropping the rules only means that because you exist in the society, you follow certain rules, but they are just rules of game, nothing else. You play cards, then you have rules. A certain card is the king, another card is the queen. You know this is foolishness. No card is the king and no card is the queen. But if you want to play the game, then certain rules have to be followed. They are rules of the game. Nothing is ultimate about them. You have to follow the traffic rules. Remember, whole morality is nothing but rules of the traffic. You live in a society. You are not alone there. Many others are there. Certain rules have to be followed. But they are not ultimate. They have nothing of ultimacy in them. They are just like, walk to the left. In America, you walk to the right. No problem. If the rule is followed, keep to the right, it is okay. If the rule is followed, keep to the left, it is also okay. Both are the same, but one has to be followed. If you have both the rules, then there will be the traffic jam and there will be difficulty, unnecessary difficulty. The whole life, when you live with others, has to follow certain rules. Those rules are neither religious, nor moral, nor divine. They are just man-made. One has to be aware. One has to know their relativity. They are formal. You need not break all the rules. There is no need, because then you will be unnecessarily in trouble. And rather becoming a sannyasi, you will become a criminal. Remember that. A sannyasi is not a soldier, a sannyasi is not a criminal. A sannyasi knows that rules are just a game. He is not against them, he transcends them. He goes beyond them. He keeps himself free of them. He follows them for others. But he doesn't become an automata. He remains conscious, fully alert. Consciousness is the goal. That's why Chuang Tzu says, hence the wise men of old did not lay down one measure for all. They have not laid down any measures really. They have insisted through many ways and means how to awake you. You are so fast asleep, I can hear your snoring. How to awake you? How to shock you towards awareness? And when you are awake, no rules are needed. Still you follow rules, and you know no rules are needed. You don't become a criminal, you transcend and become a sannyasi. Enough for today.